Gigantic. Hey everybody, it's March 1st, 2024, Gigantic Pop. Here to talk about The Rock responding on SmackDown and social media today. Talking his response to Cody Rhodes' WrestleMania, or Cody Rhodes' challenge for a wrestling match one-on-one. The Rock has a response and a proposition for WrestleMania. And I hate to say it, but once in a blue moon, I'm right. And it looks like we're going to have The Rock and Roman Reigns take on Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins night one of Mania in a tag team match. If Cody and Seth win, no bloodline. It's going to be a clean one-on-one match night two for Cody and Roman. But if they lose, it will be bloodline rules. Solo Sikoa will sing the national anthem, and Cody will have to face the entire bloodline to win that championship from Roman Reigns. So we're going to talk about that. But first, Matt, The Rock released originally it was 15 minutes. He was like, screw this, I'm uploading the director's cut. 21 minutes telling Cody F your story on Instagram today. What did you think of this promo?
This is not hyperbole. I'm not exaggerating. That may be the best promo.
Really?
From top to bottom of what it was designed to do. Yeah. It was one of the best promos. That's saying something. We say that, and I told you, we can be prisoners of the moment every once in a while, right? And maybe I am here once again, but that from top to bottom is one of the best promos. And the reason for it is because he did such an amazing job of blurring that line and then telling us he's blurring the line. And just his normal braggadocious rock swag style. And he's got to be careful, Bill, because he's put so good that how do you not appreciate that promo or him, the effort he's putting into it? And how do you not cheer that? That's my only fear, is this dude's the modern day Arthur Fonzarelli. Like, he just
yes.
He's the coolest guy in every room he walks in. In every room he walks in, he's the coolest guy. Like, that's never going to go away. So I was thinking, like, the only way to get this guy real heat is he cuts off all of his taglines. No more, finally, none of it. But
yeah.
I watched tonight's show, and they did an amazing job, in my opinion, of him stop diminishing Roman and outshining him because he's such a huge star. And that in-ring promo tonight on SmackDown was amazing. Both the Twitter promo, loved it, and loved the in-ring tonight on SmackDown.
Well, and we'll talk about this. There's a lot to dive into, including that I think he chachied Roman a little bit tonight. with how much he was coming across like the Fonz and big broed him. But so one thing I loved today, and I watched that entire promo, a lot of people are like, I don't have time to watch a 20-minute promo. Well, you should watch it, because if you have questions about why did they do all of this, why is this going on, he put in some kayfabe, but he also put in some reality. Like, if you have The Rock coming back to work with Roman, like, I'm sorry, Cody, that's just not at the same level. This is what's best for business. And he's saying Cody Rhodes agreed.
And dude, that was an amazing spin. And usually when a heel's cut on a promo, they're supposed to say things that they feel are true. So we've got, he thinks this is true, this is real. He got jerked over, right? And then Cody talking smack about his family, right? He made that clear that's a no-no. Just well done, just incredibly well done promo.
Yeah.
Such fire.
I mean, we're going to talk about both, but I'm going to tell you, for me, I like the Instagram promo better than what he did on SmackDown tonight.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no question. It's one of the best promos I've ever seen him cut.
Yeah. And delivery in SmackDown tonight was an A, but the content of that promo, aside from the tag match, I've got some critiques.
You could tell he's getting lost every once in a while. And this is me saying this. Like, I can't, come on. Like, nobody could compare to The Rock on the mic. So who the hell am I to say that, right? But I'm just being honest. You could tell he's getting lost every once in a while. And he keeps repeating the same thing.
Yes.
He called Seth clown emoji 17 different times, I feel like.
Matt, it's you and I disagree a lot. I'm so glad we're on the same page about this. It's like, Dwayne, please don't use a clip from this in your next Instagram reel the way you did to Bustin' Open today. But, dude, get somebody to take a second pass. Get a thesaurus. Get ChatGPT. Like, you can't just sit there and call Seth the clown, that clown emoji Seth Rollins, that clown. It's like, dude, you had it, and then you just, that seems so JV. You're The Rock, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, he really thinks it's a really nice dig and a nice burn, obviously. He thinks it's the coolest one in the planet, because he keeps saying it. And clown show. Like, some of the things were pretty funny. The first time he said it was funny. But then, like, you're going to go take your ass back to the circus. He had some good ones in there. It's just, he just said it like 95 times, which gives off the vibe of something that I'd never see, Glenn. I didn't think I'd ever live to see the Day of Rocks or something that's corny or not cool. I'm just being honest. I never thought I'd live to see it. And he's coming across with that as the old guy, like the kid in high school who keeps coming back to hang out like after school with all the middle school kids, right? Like, that's how he comes across. He thinks he's got this really cool burn. And they're like, yeah, dude, that was funny like 12 years ago, dude.
Yeah, shout out to Ebony Washington in the club celebrating her birthday, but also watching us.
Hey.
Ebony, I'm turning, it's my birthday in 3 hours. So, Ebony, we're both my kids. So, there you go.
Happy birthday, Glenn and Ebony. I didn't know
that. Yeah. It's so crazy. Raj, so I was talking with Raj today. It's so weird to me, Matt, that me, you, and Raj all born within a year of each other, and that you're the youngest of the three of us.
Am I?
Yeah.
I always thought I was older than you guys.
No. Huh. I mean, I don't know. Compared to me, dude, you guys are so much more like adulting than I am with your kids and your responsibilities. But anyhow, Ebony, happy birthday. Thanks for hanging out with us. No, look, I think that with Roman, like, WrestleNomics should do a breakdown of how many times did he say crack, meth, clown.
But okay. I'm sorry. I know those are cheap heat burns, but I thought they were funny. The meth, the crack. He's going full board, dude. I'll give him credit for it because, again, this is Disney Rock that has a life after wrestling that he's got to get back to. And you know what? I knew it. Remember the podcast the other week I was telling you, like, for parents, like, his Maui rendition is in our heads for life. It's ingrained. It's never coming out. Him singing, you know, all these different songs and thank you song and everything. You're welcome, that song. So anyways, so he's got to go back to all that, keep in mind. So the fact that he's pouring the gasoline out there, cursing, cussing, I like it. At least he's leaning into it. I appreciate him not just phoning it in like many in his position do. I do. I appreciate the work he's putting into it.
It's interesting. I mean, so yeah, we went from the Instagram promo today that lit the internet ablaze. Then tonight we open with Roman coming out at SmackDown and Roman asking the crowd to acknowledge him three times and kind of looking like Veruca Salt from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and like a petulant child. He's not getting the acknowledgement he wants, so he's just going to take his ball and go home before The Rock comes out.
Yeah, yeah. I was nervous for Roman because I didn't think we could get 2 weeks of him being little brothered again. It's killing him. So I did like the very end, obviously, where Rock did business, did the right thing, acknowledged his tribal chief. I did like that. I did. And it's also, I always thought like they would hold off on that would be what would split them up eventually, Glenn, to make them fight one another. Right.
Yeah.
But, guess not. Not yet.
Yeah. It was very interesting tonight how they set this up with Roman looking like a brat. And The Rock, capitulating to that at the end. So, I mean, so we're going to talk, let's talk about that. And then we'll talk about the meat of this. It was very interesting that The Rock at the end said, I acknowledge you as the tribal chief. Now, by the way, The Rock's still the high chief on that bloodline family tree. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you saying, like, I acknowledge your contributions to the organization, Dwight Schrute, you're the assistant to the regional manager.
Your analogies are on fire. Chachi, Luca Salt. Now this, dude, your analogies are on fire.
So he hits him with that tonight, but then Roman finishes it with the, if you smell what the bloodline is cooking. So look, we've got the seeds of their ultimate, their feud, maybe at SummerSlam, maybe at Mania next year. We've got The Rock and Roman. That's being built, right? That story is being told. But this idea of the tag match, is kind of crazy that we're going to now have this. And look, a lot of times people, I just want to say this, I make predictions all the time. And you know what I love about doing this now so long, Matt? When you're wrong, people don't really remember or rub it in your face. But when you're right, oh my God, you're a genius. So that's why I'll take these educated guesses sometimes because maybe I'm right. And isn't that fun?
I remember your Charlotte Flair one. That was a great, that was a huge one. Huge yeah. prediction. But this one, you did call this tag from like day one. So did you and Raj both. I think Raj too. I know definitely you did. But it's set up. They said, I like the way they set it up. They didn't rush it on how they're going to create the tag. I like that. I like that they took their time with not just saying, hey, we have two superstars over here. We're just going to have a tag. You know, they went deep into the storyline with it and it makes sense to have the match. I love the stakes, by the way. We always say what's missing in wrestling is stakes. This match has stakes. That tag match has critical stakes.
Yeah. No, it's crazy because I'm wondering now, there's a couple things that could happen. And some of this also, I just talked about this with Issa, NYC Demon Diva and Matt Coon. And she brought up an interesting point.
Wait, Matt Coon's now doing the show?
He's a fill-in, yeah, on Friday. And we were talking about the fact, Matt, you are you watching?
Big fan of Matt Coon, FYI.
Are you watching much NXT these days?
I have been recently, yeah.
Okay, so Matt hadn't heard my theory before that Von Wagner is the father of Robert Stone's kids.
Oh. Huh.
Those look like Von Wagner's kids.
I didn't see it until right now you're saying it. Yeah, I could see
that. Yeah, I know you know Robbie.
They won't go there.
But in kayfabe, that's what I think. That's going to be the breakup ultimately.
Terrible.
Okay, so we were talking about this, and Issa had a really good point. How can you have it? It seems almost unfathomable to me that you could have either side sweep, right? You can't have.
Yeah.
You can't have Cody win both nights.
I told you guys, if there was going to be a tag, what I'd say. Cody has got to be destroyed in that match. He's got to leave that match injured, limping, ribs broken, nose broken. They have got to beat the dog snot out of him so he can limp into Mania Night 2, Spirit of 76, all patched up, limping to the ring to fight from underneath and finally beat Roman. So there's millions of ways they can do it with technically Seth and Cody still winning, or maybe Cody does. They do lose that tag, right? And Cody has to go through the bloodline, essentially gauntlet, where it's going to be bloodline rules, which is they do whatever the hell they want to do, beat the crap out of Cody. They can all jump him if they want to. If they lose that tag team match, right? So like, I can see both ways. You know what I mean? It just matters which way is going to get Cody more over. Or is the story going to be finished? Which one finishes it, the story better of Cody winning the title?
It would be interesting if they lose and get destroyed, and then Cody...
Yeah, what if Cody loses night two after all of this?
Okay, so let me give you two scenarios. So one, Cody loses night one.
I'm telling you, people can have heart attacks. Maybe me included.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so if Cody and Seth lose night one, Cody night two... can run the gauntlet, looks super strong, defeats the bloodline. Maybe Pharaoh comes out and makes the save like Kincaid's dog with Freddy at the beginning of Nightmare on Elm Street 4 at the junkyard scene.
Five for five. You're killing it. You're killing it.
But Issa had an interesting theory. What if Seth and Cody win night one? Night two, it's clean. Cody versus Roman. But Seth loses to Drew because he was so banged up from the tag match. Yeah. Seth comes out and costs Cody the win.
There is that out there. People are saying, hey, not many, but a few people are saying, you know, that I see in the wrestling, you know, chats, guys, how old am I? On Twitter, I'll see, you know, a couple comments here and they're like, what would happen if Seth did this and stabbed him in the back? I mean, why not? Because... Well, first of all, I'll be pissed if Cody doesn't win the title. I'm just going to put that out there. I will be the loudest Cody crybaby on the planet self-admittedly. But, dude, imagine if he's the one that stabs him in the back, though. Like, the fans will go bonkers. I mean, they will set that company on fire, literally. They will.
And it's Philly. It's Philadelphia.
Oh. Okay, so I can see the Philly fans, though. They boo their own team, dude. They throw batteries at their own Eagles players, dude. At least they did. So I could see them actually cheering Seth doing that. I don't know.
It'd be a moment. I mean, if they want Cody to be the ultimate babyface, Cody defeats the bloodline and defeats Seth. Have Damian Priest come out while you're at it. Cody destroys everybody.
What are they going to do with him, dude? He's not ready yet. He's doing amazing. Doing good work. So he is. Damian is doing good work. He's shown good range. His character's getting layers to it right now with the R-Truth stuff that people may not like. I like it. I think it gives him more of an identity. We know a little bit more about Damian Priest now, in my opinion, because R-Truth brings out this other side, right? I just think he's still not ready though to be champ.
I'm with you. I think that it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. I could see Priest cashing in during Seth and Drew. I mean, there's a lot that could happen. Oh, maybe. Maybe the multi-man match with Gunther, if that ends up happening for the IC title, if that's chaos.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's right. You think it'll be multi-man?
It could be. I mean, I think it could. I would love for it to be Sammy, but I think they need a spot. They need a good spot to get a bunch of guys on the card.
No, you're definitely right. You're definitely right. And they started. I don't know if you caught it. Did you catch the Orton match tonight with Austin?
Yeah.
Okay, so Austin Theory, just for the record, this is a hell of a statement. I'm going to say may have taken the world's greatest Stone Cold Stunner tonight. Go back and watch it. It's the most perfect jumping back bump out of the stunner. I mean, better than Rock's that he did back in the day. And then he goes flying. He does it like The Rock, actually, where he takes it, jumps in the air and takes a back bump, and then takes another roll over with his feet on the dangling on the ropes after selling it. Folks, go back and watch that if you could. Doing a hell of a bump. He's such a good athlete. I wish they could do more with him. I don't like this, and nor do I subscribe to this BS theory of he's not ready, or he's striking out with his promos and things. You can tell he's when your company doesn't have confidence in you, dude, it crushes you. It eventually crushes you because you can tell. You can see the writing on the wall. I was working for the world title and all these main events, and all of a sudden I'm back down here and tagging with this Sideshow Bob idiot that they're throwing me out there with. In a makeshift tag team just to get me on TV. Meaningless stuff. And I'm doing The Rock stuff and promos? Like, that would mess with my confidence.
Yeah. A couple super chats. Bigfoot Sneakerhead Buck99 saying about The Rock tonight, didn't like the shirt in the pants.
What? No, I loved it. It's homage to himself. That's the rip. He's going back to his 1997 crap that he used to wear. And plus it's not a tank top. Like, dude, he's so jacked that like he overly overshadows Roman physically, not in height, but just, muscles. Sorry.
Terrence Whitted $4.99 saying Drew costs Cody and Seth the match to get the advantage. Seth goes over in their match because CM Punk screws Drew.
Ooh, wait, hang on. Drew costs Cody and Seth the match to get advantage. Seth goes over in their match because CM. Oh, okay.
So night one.
No. Yeah, no. I see it, Terrence. That could happen. It's not a bad call.
Who knows? There's a lot. Want to just cover a few other quick things that happened on SmackDown tonight before we take this home. Appreciate everyone staying up late with us. Dakota Kai turned on Bayley. She's siding with the rest of Damage Control.
We knew that was going to happen, right?
Yeah, and she even jumped back from the tag the same way Bayley did when Bayley turned on Sasha. There's a good video online comparing the two. Exact same sequence of events.
Interesting. Damn, it's the same. They couldn't sign Sasha, man.
I know. She would have been great to make the save tonight instead of something hot. I know.
That place would have exploded.
Yeah. And Rey Mysterio's back. So now I'm looking at the spreadsheet. So now I got 14 matches for WrestleMania that I think are likely to happen.
Dude, like, I'm not saying this just for the hell of it, but like, I've never in a long time, not since like the Attitude Era, do I remember having this many like main event level guys or superstars that I give a crap about. Do you know what I mean? That are at the top of the company, just killing it on all cylinders right now. And I'm excited to see all of it. Like the mid-card matches on that show could be main events in other, you know, WrestleMania eras, for crying out loud.
Yeah. And there's going to be, I mean, so I think Rey versus Santos will be a Mania. I think Legado versus LWO is going to have a big match the night before on that Smack. I think that will be like a SmackDown.
Yeah. Or a pre-show or something like that. Yeah.
And then they'll be involved in the Mania match, but that was a great fake with Rey tonight. Rey came out on the crutches and I was like, oh, he's back, but will he be cleared? And then boom.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. I liked his mask too. The mask was dope.
Yeah. We still don't know what's going on with Jade Cargill. She was there tonight with Nick Aldis, which was cool.
Oh, how the hell did I miss this? No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, backstage. And then Tiffany Stratton and Naomi, like the rub from Australia seems to have transferred over to the US with Tiffany.
Yes, and about time, because she's the whole kit and caboodle, dude. She's the whole package.
Yeah.
Dude, do you see how effortlessly, like, I can't begin to tell folks how effortlessly she does that handstand, that cartwheel, into like an upside down tomb, into like a tombstone, into her finish. Dude, it's so impressive, her athleticism. God.
No, it's stacked. And I want to talk about this quickly, Matt. So you know what I did for the first time last night? I've never done this before. I watched NXT Level Up.
What's that? I don't even know what the hell that is.
They have a show on Fridays where it's an hour long. There's like two or three NXT matches. In some cases, people that haven't been on NXT yet proper.
Oh.
And in between, they'll show like a match from Raw. So like last week, it was like Drew McIntyre versus Cody. They like showed that in between. So you basically can watch the first 10 minutes, then fast forward to the end and watch the last 10 minutes to get the NXT matches. But I want to tell you, you'll see clips online. There's this guy, Javon Evans, who's having his second match in NXT tonight. I saw his first one, like just athletic, off the charts, massive it factor and charisma. He was on a few weeks ago. I watched his match. I'm excited to watch his match tonight because he was great. But it's cool. It's kind of.
I'm going to search it. How do you spell Javon?
You spell it J-E apostrophe V-O-N.
Okay. I'm going to look it up.
He was Jay Malachi on the Indies, and I think he wrestled in AEW for a match or two. But I'm really impressed with this guy.
I'm going to look him up.
Yeah. But I like this because NXT is developmental, but lately, and especially as they're going to go to the CW, they're keeping people longer, so it's getting more and more stacked. So it's kind of fun to watch some of the more green talent.
Yeah,
you know,
dude, here's a country like that's our favorite thing in the world for sports is not the current. It's always what's the next big thing, right? So like, I always go back to LeBron being in high school, being on the front cover of Sports Illustrated as the chosen one, as an incoming frigging senior up to high school. That's insane. No pressure or anything, kid. But like we just obsessed with wanting to spot the next big superstar, right? So I love watching stuff like that, especially the greener ones, to be able to see them in their very infancy stages of wrestling, right? And be able to say that one's going to be a big one.
You got to get NXT to add Longwood to the Florida loop that they're doing.
Do they come? Where do they go? They come very close, dude. They come very close to our city.
Yeah. I mean, I went to an NXT house show in Lakeland once, and that was phenomenal.
Well, time out. What were you doing in Lakeland?
This was, this was before the Wink podcast. We were at, okay, so dude, let me just tell you this. This was 2015. We were at Disney World. We'd just gone to our first live wrestling event, which was NXT at the Aftershock Metal Festival, which was in Sacramento, California. And that's what got my wife into it. She thought TakeOver was okay, but seeing it live, she was like, oh yeah, this is great. So like a month later in 2015, we're at Disney World and I'm like, you know, Lakeland's 30 minutes from here and NXT's having a house show. We should go. So we rented a car at Disney World just to drive to that and saw like Enzo opened the show and did a one-on-one match against Angelo Dawkins. Like we saw Liv Morgan back when she was wrestling under her shoot name. Like, but it was great. Like if I lived in Florida, I would go to these shows all the time.
I should. No, you're not wrong. I should.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Majestic Marie, all of our super chats, as Marie's pointing out, are going to charity. We're donating to Rain this quarter. We'll have a new charity for Q2. Marie saying Austin Theory was so great here in the ATL Indies. They aren't letting him be himself. Love you too. Thank you, Marie. Great to see you tonight. How do you think Austin's character? So you don't like him with Grayson?
No, because he's a standalone. I think he's a main event act too. He's still getting better. He is improving, but he's already, in my opinion, somebody that they did all this stuff with Cena, you know, all that stuff. He beat Cena at Mania, you know, like they did nothing to follow up on that. And I didn't like that John buried him in that friggin' promo. Oh, but man, he went and lost the next match. Isn't that what matters? No, it's not. I learned that lesson myself. I'll give you an example real quick. Was when Hogan and Bischoff were taking charge of TNA at the time. And I was supposed to do an in-ring segment with Scott Steiner. You've definitely seen it on YouTube where he's just completely berating me, right? Saying he said sex with my girlfriend, even though I'm married at the time. I'm like, damn, you don't even know I'm married, dude? What the hell? But and making all these digs on me, right? And I knew he was going to say it because a lot of it was in the bullet points, right? Before, and so I pulled a Vince aside, Russo, I go, hey, Vince, like, I would never just sit there and let somebody just say this to me. They're like, and he's like, relax. What's the end? We got to be able to get sympathy on you, which is very difficult to do, which is right. He's not wrong on that. And more importantly, what's the end of the story? I go, I'm winning. I don't know. He goes, yes, you're going to be winning at the pay-per-view. That's the bottom line. That's your get back. I'm like, okay. And then we're in the ring and it feels so uncomfortable. I'm like, I cannot just sit here. I got to like punch him, walk toward him or do something. I got to say something back. You know what I mean? It felt so awkwardly uncomfortable for me. And I was right. I was definitely right. I should have trusted my instinct to like, you know, shoot back on him. Not shoot, but like say something, you know, smart assy back to him. Right.
Yeah.
But they want me to cut this baby face promo of, you know, being a dual sport college athlete, whatever the hell it was, and us having this athleticism in common of playing NCAA sports. What? It was so cheesy. It was horrible. I hated it. But I hated my part, I should say. And so just like I learned a lesson, though, and that's what I'm hoping Austin's doing, is that when you're in the ring like that, I don't care who the star is, and they're doing that to you, you've got to be able to snap back on them, because the crowd sometimes won't ever forget it.
And it's tough. You know, I said this, and again, you know, people should know half the time I'm just sort of like calling it as I see it on the fly. But when Grayson Waller got called up, I was like, if him and Austin Theory, they should not be on the same brand, because even though they're
or a version of the, I agree with. Yeah, bro. Yeah.
And I said they're going to end up being a tag team. They're either going to be a tag team. I mean, because it's like, if you could merge the two of them together,
yeah,
like you would have
perfect wrestler
for the old school powers that be.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because Grayson's promos, you got to give him credit, dude. He's very comfortable on that microphone.
Yeah.
Very comfortable.
Cool. Well, so that's SmackDown tonight. That's what happened today in wrestling. Thank you, everyone, for joining us late tonight. I know. And Sunday, Revolution, Sting's last match. Matt and Raj are going to cover that after. I'm going to be doing birthday stuff this weekend. We'll see how that all goes. I saw New Edition the other night, Matt. That was a bucket list thing for me.
Uh-huh. How do they sound?
amazing. All six of them, man. It was phenomenal. Yeah, it was great.
So you remember when they first came out and like everybody loved them? And so like to like show your like mark skills of how much you love New Edition more than the next New Edition mark, you'd be like, yeah, you probably like Bobby Brown. You know, like you don't even know who Ralph Tresvant is, I'll bet. Like, do you remember that? And like trying to like find the most obscure one in the group to be like, yeah, that's the best one in the group. So you don't know what you're talking about. You're not a real New Edition fan.
I mean, well, I think they kind of helped with the Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. Like, they were breaking it down. Like, okay, so you should be able to name, if you listen to Kula now, you can name four of them, right?
Oh, that was such a good song.
I know. It's like, dude, so here's the thing. They blew through, like, Candy Girl, Cool It Now, Popcorn Love, and Mr. Telephone Man. That was, like, the opening segment. But, dude, it didn't stop. Like, we got My Prerogative, Every Little Step, nice. Don't Be Cruel, Roni, all the Bell Biv DeVoe hits. We got My and Rub You the Right Way. We got Ralph doing Sensitivity. Like, it was relentless, dude.
Did they do Poison?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they had dancers out there for that. Like, it was
nice.
It was and dude, I've wanted to see them live. Like, I was a fan in the 80s since Kula Now, but when they did that reunion at the 1990 VMAs with all six of them, I was like, and then when they got back together in the mid 90s, I was like, oh my God, I want to see this. And for a while, it was like five of them were tour, four of them were tour. So the fact it was six, that was the key. And it was beautiful. And I'm so happy I saw them.
The hell of a bucket list item.
Yeah. So good. So good. And by the way, I tweeted this. I've been to metal concerts. I've been to punk shows. Loudest thing I've ever heard were 40 and 50 year old women screaming for their guys. Like, it was piercing. It was insane.
God. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think was more over at their height? New Edition or New Kids?
It's different, right? I mean, part of the reason Maurice Starr started New Kids is he was like, because he started New Edition, he's like, New Edition's good, but if I did this with a white group, they will reach a bigger audience. But, you know, I'm going to say...
I didn't know that story, actually.
Yeah, that's 100% why New Kids were meant to be the white New Edition. That was 100% his plan.
Got it.
I'm going to say New Kids were more over mainstream, but New Edition is one of those rare groups, like the Beatles, the Fugees, the Eagles, where every member of that group had success outside of the group. You know what I mean? Like, who do you go see live where they're like, and now everyone's going to come out and do solo stuff and you know the songs?
Yeah. True.
You know? So I think they had, I think New Edition had a bigger impact, especially when you get into Bell Biv DeVoe and Bobby Brown.
They were huge, huge number one hits when they broke off.
Yeah. And then don't forget Michael Bivins. Yeah. Discovering Boys to Men, another bad creation.
ABC.
Yeah, ABC, BBD. You know? okay, I could talk about this all night, but we got to wrap this up. Jalen Rowe wants to know, Buck99, Mangun, do you like Tupac? Tupac's phenomenal. I'm from the Bay Area. I love Tupac.
Is there anybody that doesn't?
Man, Tupac's so good. I mean, going back to Digital Underground, like you see him in the Humpty Dance video in the background.
Yeah, he's a dancer.
Yeah. Thank you, Jalen. Okay, everybody. Have a great weekend. Matt's at BP, Matt Morgan, and Matt Glenn Rubenstein. Tune in Sunday night for AEW Revolution coverage, and we'll get you back here on Gigantic Pop. Take care.
Happy birthday, Glenn.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.